A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 4th of June 2024, Tuesday class. As usual, we will gather, then we will have our puja chanting. Let us now compose our mind, develop the sadha, virya, then we shall commence the puja offerings. Namo Bhagavate Sisya Moni Pho. Namo Bhagavate Sisya Moni Pho. Namo Bhagavate Sisya Moni Pho. Namo Guanxin Bhusa. Namo Guanxin Bhusa. Namo Guanxin Bhusa. Namo Amitabha Pho. Namo Amitabha Pho. Namo Amitabha Pho. Namo Amitabha Pho. Namo Amitabha, Namo Amitabha, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Tisawang Pusa, Namo Tisawang Pusa, Namo Tisawang Pusa, Namo Pho Pusa, Namo Pho Pusa, Namo Pho Pusa.Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivadimi swagato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namassamiSupadipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Namo attassa bhagavatoArahato sama sambuddhasa Namo atasa bhagavato Arahato sama sambuddhasa Buddhang saranang gacchami Dhammang saranang gacchami Sanghang saranang gacchamiDutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang GacchamiTatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Kamesu micacharaVeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Musavada Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Suramiraya Majjhapamadatana Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Turn to page 3 of the chanting book. We shall continue our puja chanting from Padipa Puja onwards. Ganna sarapa ditena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambedang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutenaDupena hang sugang hina Pujaye pujaniyang tang Puja bhajana muttamang ปันนากันดากุโนเปตังเอตังกุสุมาสันทตินปูจายามิโมนินดาสสิริปาดาสโรโรเหปูเจมิบุตังกสุเมนาเนนาปุณเณนามเตนะเชโหตุโมคังปูพังมิลายติยัตตาอิดังเมกายโยตตายติวินาสบาวังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปานิยังปาริกาปิตังอานุกัมปังอุปาดายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปาเลปาริกาปิตังอานุกัมปังอุปาดายะปาติกันหาจุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตโบจานังปาริกาปิตังอานุคัมปังอุปาดายะปาติกันหาจุมุตตมัง Now we shall chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this.Puja offerings, significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water.Lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses all the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue.Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One.Strengthen our faith and diligently, constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings,May our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transform merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu. Sadhu.Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect Triple Jam. Bhutang Pujemi. Dhammang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. This awareness-based meditation is very important, especially forNew people or those Kayamita who have yet to stabilize their awareness nature within, make full use of it. Because even if you attend all the classes, you only have 3 sessions. But on your own, if you can, you should attend to form a religious routine to meditate at least before you sleep. And when you wake up, that include the daily mindfulness of all action, movement, and activity that you are doing throughout the day to stabilize your daily mindfulness. Together with the formal training and the daily mindfulness, you will be able to stabilize your awareness nature within. Then you will progress very fast. You will understand things differently. Okay, so as usual, you all can follow the four support to develop it, especially the first three support, which is just relax, maintain awareness, and stabilizing the inner awareness. So relax, the first support is very easy. Relax body and mind, completely relax. No need to know, no need to do anything, just relax. Feel yourself soothingly relaxed, at ease, physically at ease, peaceful, mentally also at ease, peaceful. Yeah? Then maintain awareness or attention. Just pay attention, maintain awareness, just aware. Whatever arises at your sixth sense door, aware, finish. Don't continue with the thinking or proliferation of thought. All those will lead to heedless thinking or thought-based activity. You can just acknowledge it, aware, finish. Or aware, perceive, finish. Yeah. Don't let it continue. Whether it's at any of your senses, yeah. It can be triggered off through your hearing, smell, taste, tactile, or thought process. So all these are the skillful means or understanding that you need to develop the inner awareness. You must not think. The thought must cease. Means aware, finish. No need to let it continue. Then continue this training until you can stabilize the inner awareness. Then a lot of things will happen. Then when you are able to develop the stability of it, you will experience a shift in consciousness taking place within your awareness-based nature. This awareness is a nature within you. It is not a thought process, but the awareness nature is very unique, very amazing, and very beautiful in the sense that if you know how to stabilize it, develop the ability to be aware of it, then you can stay with it. Yeah, that is your true mind, your silent mind. The awareness nature that is just aware without thought. That's it. But thought arises from there very fast, non-stop, because of habitual tendency, because of our formation, the makeup of the former mind, with the senses and the consciousness trapped inside. So upon contact of sense basis and the mind with the sense data, normally it will trigger or simultaneously the respective sense or consciousness, and it make you conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. Because without wisdom and understanding, the moment the human being or the former mind become conscious, it get excited, then it get conditioned into a habitual tendency or mental activity, thinking, movement, and all those things. All this arise from our accumulated views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, phobia, scars of memory, or whatever that we accumulate into our memory. So our brain is where the organ of thought process is. That's why I thought if you are mindful, aware, your thought, they arise to respond to these memories. You don't have this memory, you don't have thought. That's why the baby, newborn baby, they don't have thought. They are conscious, they are aware, but they don't have thought. But as we grow up, as we receive all the conditioning, all the so-called teachings or guardian, people who take care of us, they will actually teach us many things. Then we start to develop the thinking process, the thought process. And without knowing it, we create the egoic mind, the entity, the personality. Then we are given the name to identify us. Then we are given our religious label. Then we also given our identity card, like in Malaysia. Then as you grow up, they give you a passport to travel overseas. So these are the conditioning that identify you and create the egoic mind. So through delusion, the thought process create a lot of delusion and entanglement. And from there, the mental hindrance arise. Born of the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. From Sakkaya Ditti, the evil roots arise. Because Sakkaya Ditti is self-delusion, where you believe you exist, that is the problem. Then the entity develop selfishness. Then it want to own things, possess things, dominate and control things. That's how the evil roots of greed arise. And when things don't go your way, you get angry. You develop negativity or mind state. You become emotional, violent. Then envy, jealousy, all these are the evil roots of hatred. Then when you cannot understand what is going on, you develop fear, worry, anxiety. All these are delusion. So the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion come from the ego. Yeah. Without the ego, there is no movement of thought to create all this. Then the movement of thought also created the illusion of time, past and future. They are not reality. The reality is the moment, every moment that arises and passes away. That is the only reality in life. And we call it existence. But living being overlooked that, and through our own delusion, we create the illusion of time. When we accumulate memory as the past, then this one has power over you. Then when you project your thought into the future, which is something not a reality because it hasn't happened yet, you trigger off unnecessary fear, anxiety, worry, and all these things. So the movement of thought create the illusion of time that actually grabs you, cripple you, paralyze you. And all this is what Dhamma is. You need awareness to be aware of all this and see all this to understand clearly who are you, what are you, and how you function as a human being. How all these thought processes, they are linked to the spiritual law of Paticca Samuppada, the dwelling. So all this, when you understand, you develop the clear understanding of life, existence, then you can straighten your view and become different. Then you can liberate yourself from all the deluded thinking, deluded activity that you arise through all this sakkaya ditthi or self delusion. Okay, so with this, I will let you meditate on your own. I will set the 30 minutes alarm so that you can continue with your awareness-based meditation. Then for those who already know how to stabilize their inner awareness, you just stay at the awareness there. Preferably reside somewhere around the heart area. Go to the heart, silence everything and maintain awareness there. Then whatever vibration or heartbeat or movement or activity that you can detect, stay there. Yes. Until the movement become quiet, very still. Until the thought process, the sankhara activity slow down and suddenly cease. Yeah. Then what you experience is just the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, the clarity of mind, the inner awareness. That shift in consciousness, when it happens, you will detect your true mind. Mm. But don't be excited or don't panic, because that true mind is just a nature. It's not a being. It cannot come out and leave. It is just that nature that you need to assess it and stay with it. And then that mind, which is the true mind, the silent mind, the awareness nature, can see things as they are, can understand all the movement and activity. But this is direct seeing, seeing things as they are, not with your memory, conditioning, knowledge and belief system. None of all those. That's why when you start to see the actual movement, then you understand what actually happened. You understand truth. You awaken to it. Then through that, no more delusion. So continue to maintain awareness, stabilize it. Then meditate with that silent mind, that awareness nature. Just aware, aware, aware. The more aware you are, the less thinking, the less thought process. So you are shifting from heedless thinking to heedful living. The one that don't have sati, mindfulness or heedfulness, they think a lot. They are constantly lost in thought, creating sankhara activity and movement. Yeah. They continuously stir their mind, react to sense experience through delusion. So to meditate is to develop this inner awareness to understand, then straighten your view, then develop the wisdom to liberate your mind, to free your mind, not to be deluded again or anymore. You can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the dainties or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chiyakawalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhamman Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta 那摩达斯巴嘎瓦多阿拉哈托萨玛萨姆达斯那摩达斯巴嘎瓦多阿拉哈托萨玛萨姆达斯那摩达斯巴嘎瓦多阿拉哈托萨玛萨姆达斯อิติปิโสภะคะวะอะระหังสัมมาสัมพุทโธ วิจารณสัมปันโนสุขโตโลกวิโดอนุตตรโอปุริสธัมมสารถิสัตตเทวมโนสานังพุทโธภะคะวะติสวากาโตภะคะวะตาธัมโมสันติติโกอาคาลิโกเอหิปัสสโกโอปนายโกปัจจตังเวทิตาโบวินโนหิติสุปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆอุจุปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆสายาปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆสามิจิปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆยะทิฏังจัตตาริปุริสโยคานิอัตตปุริสปุคะละเอสาภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆอาหุเนโยปาหุเนโยทักขิเนโยอัญจะลิกะระเนโยอนุตตรังปุญญังเกตังโลกัสสติสาธุสาธุสาธุ Teaching by the parables. E2 The round of teaching by parables. F1 is parable which sets aside the three vehicle to reveal the one supreme vehicle. Then G1 is the request. Then G2 is the answer. Then F2, those of average disposition understand. That is chapter 4. The Tathagata speaks of his teaching, chapter 5. Then conferring prediction, chapter 6. Okay. We go to the sutta. So the sutta start with G1, the request. At that time, Sariputta said to the Buddha, "Well honored one, I now have no further doubt or regrets, for I have personally received a prediction of Anuttara Samyasambhohi in the presence of Buddha. In the past, when those 1200s who have now attained self-mastery were still in the stage of study, means sainthood way, the Buddha always taught and inspired them, saying, My Dhamma can lead one to leave behind birth, old age, sickness, and death, and attain ultimate nirvana. Those in need of study and those beyond study alike believe they were liberated from their views of self, existence, and non-existence, and so forth, and declare that they have attained nirvana. Yet now, in the presence of the world-honored one, hearing what they had never heard before, they fall prey to doubts and confusion. Then we go to the commentaries. At that time, when all the gods have finished speaking their verses and dedicating all their merits towards their future attainment of Buddhahood, the greatly wise Sariputta said to the Buddha, "Well honored one, I now have no further doubts or regrets, because Sariputta had understood the awakened, understood and awakened to the wonderful Dhamma taught by the Buddha, means the Supreme Vehicle Teaching. He would never again give rise to any doubt or regrets, for I have personally received a prediction of Anuttara Samyat Sambohi in the presence of the Buddha. Sakyamuni Buddha has said that I shall become a Buddha, known as Tathagata Flower Radiance." In the past, when those 1200 who have now attained self-mastery were still in the stage of study, the Buddha always taught and inspired them, saying, "My Dhamma can lead one to leave behind birth, old age, sickness, and death, and attain ultimate Nibbana." These 1,250 disciples were all great bhikkhus who have attained self-mastery. The stage of study means sainthood way, means they are either first stage of sainthood, which is sotapannaship, or sakadagama, sakadagami, second stage of sainthood, or anagami, third stage of sainthood. And for those beyond study are the arahats. So the stage of study refers to all stages prior to the attainment of the fourth stage of arahantship. In the past, when the 1,250 disciples were in the stage of study, means the preliminary stage, sainthood way, the Buddha told them that through this Buddha Dharma, one could free oneself from the sufferings of birth, old age, sickness, and death, and attain the ultimate bliss, Nirvana. When children are born, they experience intense suffering. Since they are young and do not understand what is going on, they quickly forget the experience. By the time they grew up, they will have forgotten the painful experience of their birth. However, when they grow old, they will experience the suffering of aging. In what way is aging a form of suffering? As they grow old, their eyesight and hearing will start to fail them. Their teeth may develop problems, may fall out, and so your food no longer tastes as good. Your eyes, your ear, and teeth do not work as they used to. Pretty soon your leg will not help you, and neither will your hand. You may want to pick up something, but when you stretch out your hands, they shake uncontrollably and they become impossible to pick anything up. Americans eat with knife and forks, but when you are old, you might not even be able to pick them up. They seem to weigh several hundred or thousand times a pound. Wouldn't you say that is suffering? You cannot manage even the simplest, most basic tasks. Your hands and feet are no longer reliable. If your body stops helping you, you become paralyzed. All you can do is lie down in bed all day long. Is that not suffering? Then you may become sick while in bed and experience the suffering of sickness and disease. Now you understand. So this is Xuan Hua's commentaries. But based on our own experience through life, we can also understand why as we go through life, we will ultimately grow old, get sick, and finally die. Because with birth come aging, sickness, disease, and death. So these are reality. That as we age, like anything, our senses fail us. We become like less efficient, less agile, less competent. We develop a lot of problem with our senses, our limbs, and many other things. Then we start to realize to support life is not easy. Yeah. In the early days, I remember there was a calamity, I think PK. He is older than me. He's also a civil engineer. He relayed to me a story. He said, "Brother Teo, what you thought last time when I heard you, I got no idea how bad it can be," he said. I said, "To exist is not easy. Your senses, your limbs, your bodily organ, everything, they must support you." Yeah. So he told me what he experienced when he was in Genting. He said, suddenly his heart, he said, like something bad happened, he said, like attacking. Then he was so weak, you know. He said, to move even that 10 steps back to the hotel room to rest was such a nightmare, is it? Everything, is it? He felt so weak, no? Then he recalled after that what I said. You need a lot of energy, a lot of strength, and a lot of support system from your physical body, your senses, your limbs, or your organ, to actually live a normal life, to even breathe properly, to even walk properly. You don't take all this for granted. But the body is still a body. It will go the way of nature. As we age, our senses start to deteriorate and fail us. Then our limbs, if you don't exercise, it will also weaken. Then like our car, if you don't service it properly, attend to it properly, then it may not serve you well. Very fast, you will have a lot of problem. Not only wear and tear, if you abuse it, it will break down before its design lifespan. So a lot of things we must not take for granted. We need to take care. We must take care. We must have the understanding. We must have loving kindness towards our body. Like my teacher Achayantra, he used to say, if the body can talk to us, the body would have said, "Oh Master, don't harm me or harm me not. For I am only tissue and cells. I will do my best to serve you." That's why he called you Master. Yeah. So make full use of me while I can still serve you before I become too weak and too sick to serve you. So if your body were to talk to you in this manner, how will you feel? And this is Dhamma, understand? You don't take things for granted. You think to breathe regularly, to exercise, to walk, to run around, is it natural? No. These are given to us. Karmically, the life force together with our DNA and all those things. So able to have this life, having the senses all in order, you are not a disabled person, or none of your senses has failed you. It's a blessing. Yeah. You should thank your good karma for your ability to have such good physical health and body. That's why I used to share with Kayamita and my wife, and even my daughter Sui and my son. When I was 60 plus, I always share, I said, my nature felt blessed at this age. My health is still good. Everything is still in order, the senses, everything. And now approaching 70, still very good. So this is true blessings. That's why when you have this understanding, you will understand life well. And this is what we call when you have the Dhamma, when you have realized the Dhamma, true emptiness is a wonderful existence. Life become meaningful, wonderful, and you have a lot of joy experiencing all this wholesomeness, good health, yeah, and blessing. In fact, a lot of living beings, especially human beings, you look at the world, they suffer a lot. A lot of country, a lot of region, not only they have war, they have even nature's disaster. Now is the heat wave, experiencing higher and higher. When I was in Dubai, I thought 40 over degrees Celsius is high. Recently, India, 50 over degrees Celsius. And a lot of people are breaking down because of the heat wave and all this thing. Then we have flood. Now, floods are very common. Almost everywhere you can hear it over the news. Then forest fire. Then severe cold, or what they call snowfall. Disrupting traffic. In China, even the EV car battery also dead very fast because of the extreme cold and all things. Then a lot of what we call abnormal weather behavior, so we call it climate changes. And all this is the result of the human consciousness and also what we call pollution and destruction that living being cause to their own planet. Nature and you are one. If you don't take care of nature, nature will be harmed. And nature, when it's harmed or destroyed, it will destroy mankind too. Because man and nature must harmonize. You cannot live individually, selfishly. So all these are the deep understanding and meaning of Dhamma. What Xianhua described is only a very minor aspect of your senses feeling you, your limbs. But as we age, we experience and also witness many from our more elderly parents or friends or people whom we come to know. Now we understand how the old people, when they experience disease, illness and injury, especially old people, that's why take care, don't fall. The price of falling down is very high. And because of that, nowadays, you tend to see a lot of new shower. Last time is the massage. Now, no more massage. Now, physio, chiropractor. Then a lot of this type of treatment. Then many of these traumatic diseases, you tend to hear them quite common, especially center. Then a lot of them succumb to all those traumatic diseases. Then some, not only traumatic, frightening, like dementia, experiencing dementia for old people, really, it's not easy. Then, of course, depression is also another big field. So now a lot of studies, they tend to attend those courses that are health related. And many people tell me, I think Alicia also told me, in Australia, the best paid people are the health industry. Not only doctors and nurses, but those who do all those like taking care of autistic children and all those things. Even I got one brother, the daughter studies speech therapy, doing very well, and they are paid very well. Because living being or human being, they are experiencing a lot of this. Then as we age, I believe you have consulted many sinsei or doctors or even those who are supposed to have the understanding to treat you. And as we age, a lot of part doesn't really function that well. Ache here, ache there. Then sprain here, sprain there. Then you tend to experience a lot of problem. At times you will need to see doctor or dentist, then physio, then get yourself admitted and all those things. So as you age further, I think these things are occurring more and more frequently. But you can afford, not so bad. You cannot afford, it can be very traumatic. And it's not easy to, even if you have the money. Because this is what the first noble truth reality is. Birth, sickness, aging, injury, you should add in injury and death. They are very, very traumatic. And it is not easy for living beings to confront them with wisdom so that you do not suffer. That's why the Buddha said this is a first noble truth of dukkha. The reality of life and existence, when you confront them without the Dhamma understanding, you suffer. That's why they call it a noble truth of suffering. Means suffering is everywhere prevalent when you don't have the wisdom and the understanding. But you will complain. You will react. You have been so conditioned by the good moments, the good life, the good health and all those things. And a lot of living beings take things for granted. We never really look at life, look at existence. When we have the Dhamma, the mindfulness, the awareness, when we are sensitive, we understand our body very well and we can take care better. Then whatever we come to perceive or weakness, we can understand very fast. We do not become like heedless, like normal people. We don't take things for granted. We do not wait for problem to happen. Then through our interaction with people, our relationship with our friends, our colleagues, our neighbors, or even our siblings and whoever, you can learn a lot of things from them. You can share those important things in life. Don't waste your time on heedless, frivolous talk and all those things. Actually develop more mindfulness, awareness, to be aware of the important things in life, then develop the wisdom to understand life, then only you can live life. Otherwise, it's not easy. And these are the Dhamma that I realize is not taught. Most of the time, it's the first noble truth only. Then they rattle the eight condition. Some didn't even go into the eight condition. They just say life is suffering, finish. That is not the teaching. The teaching is so profound, so beautiful. The Buddha never say life is suffering. The first noble truth tells us the realities of life and existence. If you go through life long enough, you will experience this reality. And without wisdom, when you confront them, it becomes suffering. That's why the noble truth. That is a noble truth. And when you understand that noble truth, you can free your mind. You can gain awakening. That's why it's a noble truth. Can make you noble ones. Okay, we go on back to the sharing. So that is to top up with what Xianhua have explained in the commentary. What he expressed is very brief. He don't have much time to elaborate, I think, at that time. Yes, it took him so long, this Lotus Sutra. Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutra. Okay, we continue. Then Xianhua said, recently, former President Eisenhower died. He died at a very old age. Despite the fact that he had been president, he still got old and had to die. A few days ago, the newspaper reported that he has been hospitalized with a grave illness. That is a suffering of sickness, disease. When he underwent the suffering of death, he had occupied the most prestigious position as a president. But when the time came for him to die, the spirit of death was not gracious at all and forced him to undergo great pain. Why? Because he had never studied the Buddha Dhamma. This one, I think, is by Xianhua. So we just take it at the surface level. If he had understood the Buddha Dhamma and let go of everything, he would have been free from suffering of birth, old age, sickness, and death. This statement could be true to a certain extent. Unfortunately, he did not understand the Buddha Dhamma, so he could not escape suffering. Birth, old age, sickness, and death are very... What is egalitarian? What is the meaning? Can somebody check? Egalitarian. This English word I haven't heard before. What is the English meaning?
The principle that all people are equal and deserve equal rights and opportunities.
Oh, okay. In that sense, it's like what I explained. These are reality. Not only you have to confront, understand? No? Everybody has to confront. That is the meaning, understand? No? Understand? No? Pingteng doesn't mean same. This one is applied to all living beings. Everyone has to confront it. They managed to find this word, English word. So everyone is born. Everyone grows old, gets sick, and die. But sometimes they may not really grow old. Very young, they die. But these are reality. That's why I use the word, you live life long enough, you will experience all the eight reality. However, if you understand the Buddha Dhamma, truly awaken. Why he use the word wake up? Have no attachment and let go of everything. Then you can attain self-mastery. So this one, I think, we have to understand it differently. If you let a normal living being or human being who don't know the Dhamma and read this, he will tell you this is tokok. How can you have no attachment and let go of everything? Then your money give to me lah. No need to live life lah. So this is why we have to explain it in more in-depth understanding. That's why it brings us back to the question of how we Buddhists define enlightenment, the awakening, the realization of this profound truth of life. Then when we realize this, all the eight reality, birth, old age, sickness and death, separation from your loved ones or prized possession or things that you hold on to dearly, when you are with people whom you don't like, when things don't go your way, when you cannot get what you want, and in short, when you cannot understand what that fine aggregate of form and mind is, you develop sakkayadity, self-delusion, to grasp at it. That's why the grasping aggregates, the fine aggregate, they are suffering. That is the final summary. So this eight reality, you can break free when you awaken. How do we break free? It's not just let go, don't attack. No, it's an understanding. You recall how Sakyamuni Buddha, before he became the Sammasambuddha, decided to leave the palace and go the Samana way, means follow the holy practitioner to seek out the understanding to overcome the problem that he has, where he saw the four signs. The first three signs impact very strongly on him. Then when the attendant explained to him, this is an old man, means everybody must grow old. Then he realized he has a problem. Because sooner or later he will be old, understand? Senses failing him, and he will be entangled with all those disease, sickness, injury, everything. Even paralysis, the traumatic disease, all those things. Then, the next one he saw was a very sick person. Yeah. So, related to aging. Yeah. Then after that, he saw a dead person. He said, this is my problem. After enjoying everything that the father has given him, the four palace of the four seasons, ultimately he has to grow old, get sick and die. And he got no answer to this. Understand? And why did he think that way? The problem is he believed this form and mind, the five aggregate, is him, understand? This is subject to birth, and with birth comes old age, sickness and death. So these are the reality. But at that time, he didn't awaken. We are not connected yet. Then he realized he has a problem. That's why he went all out to seek the answer to birth, old age, sickness and death. Then despite the two teachers, Alara and Udaka, who actually developed the meditative experience of the seven and eight jhana, which are very blissful state of mind, and they share with the Buddha to be at that time Sakyamuni or Gautama. He said, this is it, this is ultimate. If you can achieve this state of mind, when you die, this is eternal heaven, eternal life. You will live very long. Yeah. But the Buddha cannot accept this as answer because what he seeks is old age, sickness and death. He still got no answer. That's why he left them. Yeah. Then until the fateful night underneath the Bodhi tree, when he realized the enlightenment and when he connect, he realized that this form and mind is not him. That's why his problem gone. Understand? No. This physical body and consciousness that is trapped inside is a segmented life that come through the karmic process. That's why he liberate. Then he said, this physical body and mind goes the way of nature. That's why the five daily contemplation, he introduced them after he became the Buddha. He said to all the monks, you must contemplate every day. This body and mind of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die. For it has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. So when you understand this, you do not develop the delusion to worry about your physical body getting old, getting sick and die. Well, this is not you. And this one go the way of nature. Like even Shen Hua also described, it's a reality. Everybody you got to go through. You have to experience it. So what is the difference? People who suffer are people who don't understand. Understand? They think the body is what they are. They thought they have grown old. They have disease. They have sickness. That delusion is very powerful. Then they fear death because they don't understand what the life process is. Who die? What die? Unless you meditate awareness based, then you realize there is another nature that is never born. That is never, that which is never born, never die. That's why it's, you can say that nature is eternal. But it's not a being. That's why you cannot say that is eternal life. No. Yeah, it's not a being. It's just a nature. Yeah. But that nature can only be found within the form of mind. You have to meditate to realize it. Yeah. That's what the Buddhist understanding is, the enlightenment process. Then when you have that understanding, you do not worry about this body getting old, getting sick and dying. Like my teacher Achayandra say, make full use of it when the conditions are there for you to experience them. That's why have joy, have what we call gratitude towards our good karma for giving us such good condition and good life. That is life existing, and you can have all those things. But if you don't take care of karma, whatever come, you have to accept the reality, just like what Sui realized. You have to embrace the totality of it, and as a condition like that, things will like that, it has to be that way. If you don't accept one thing's your way, what happens? You suffer. That is the Dhamma understanding. That's why you can free. You don't have to talk about, don't attach, let go, don't cling. To me, those who are non-Buddhist, he tell you, you go and fly kite. You know, that is completely nonsense. That is not life, understand? But if you explain it, this form of mind is not you. Even they want to like challenge you, they find it very difficult. How come a person can realize that this form of mind is not him? Then what happened after death? That's why I asked the question, who died? What died? Nothing died. Understand? Huh? Separation of the physical body, yeah, with the consciousness and the supporting condition that sustain the segmented life, no more, finish. And you call it die. It's not die. Actually, nothing die. It's just a separation of causes and conditions. That we sustain the life force, the physical body in proper condition, then the consciousness trapped inside can harmonize with the whole thing and animate you into a living being. It's just like a car. The car itself, it's not really you, understand? You can see clearly. The driver could be your chauffeur, also not you, understand? But for the car to perform, you need a skillful driver who can drive the car. But now EV car, maybe no need to learn how to drive. The computer you can instruct, they can drive. But then it is also supported by causes and conditions. If any of the electronic part of the EV car breakdown, or the mechanical part of the mechanical car breakdown, the car also cannot move on its own, like our physical body. Our physical body is like a vehicle that takes us around. It's like the car. All the organ, all the part, they must function. If any of the critical organ is not performing or functioning, then that car or that physical body will have problem. So it's exactly the same. That's why I gave you all the analogy. You say the body is you, okay. What happens if a person like go through life, then somehow get stroke, then paralysis from the waist down or whatever, paralysis. Then the body doesn't listen to you anymore. No. You initially you may think, why you say this body not me? I want to laugh, I laugh, I want to run, I run, I want to do anything I can. Even I want to commit suicide, I can. Why you say not me? Then paralysis time, you ask him to stand up, he cannot stand up. Like Shane was saying, even performing the basic, the most basic action of swallowing food, eating, when you go through that old age, you will know. When you need people to feed you or put a tube in you and put in the nutrient, and then you understand the limitation of our physical body. These are reality. You need to accept them. The moment you refuse to accept that reality, you will suffer. That's why understanding all this can free your mind. Because when you really have the awareness-based meditation, your consciousness can separate from your sensation, your aggregates of mind, the five aggregates. They are dependent originating. But that nature that is aware does not have problem at all. That's why that one no fear, nothing. There's no thought, no duality. That one is just that nature, peaceful, tranquil, still. And that is clarity. But it's linked to the form and mind. When the form and mind sees, that nature also sees. Then whatever wisdom that you have developed through that pure awareness that I see also sees with it. That's why every life you come, even as a bodhisattva, of course your karmic nature, your spiritual nature support you. But every life you come, you need to go through the process of developing the understanding and connect back and inherit. Otherwise, that learning process need to be repeated. The wisdom doesn't come immediately, unless you are a great being of great parami and potential. But even the Buddha, you see, he also had to wait till age 29, left the palace, then strive for 6 years to understand all this, then awaken because of causes and conditions. So all these are the realities of life and existence and the understanding that you must develop. When you develop them, then life is no more problem, no more suffering. Okay? We go back to the sharing. Then I finish that part, then we end. So birth, old age, sickness, and death are very egalitarian. Everybody is subject to it. It's a reality that happens to every living being who lives long enough. Everyone is born, grows old, gets sick, and dies. However, if you understand the Buddha Dharma, if you are truly enlightened, then the other part no need to relearn, no attachment, forget about it. The understanding will liberate you. Then once you have attained self-mastery, means the wisdom, birth, old age, sickness, and death will not befall you. Not to say not before you, it's no more a problem to you, because this is the body subject to it, understand? And that body is not you. Instead, you will experience the ultimate joy or nirvana, free from suffering. So this one, you have to understand. This is literally put in words to let cultivator like motivate themselves. Oh, I can realize it. But there is no being inside there to realize this, understand or not? So don't be deceived and deluded. But the experience of, maybe they call it the meditative calmness, tranquility, the stillness, or you can actually describe it as piti, sukhang, joy, and all those things. Then nirvana is not a mind state, understand? It's the unconditioned, there is nothing inside there. But here he used the word ultimate joy or nirvana. Well, nirvana is complete cessation. Although the Buddha said nirvana paramang sukhang, which is correct, means nirvana is the highest peace. Because when you realize the cessation of forming mind, which is the nirvana cessation, there is nothing compared to that cessation. But that one is completely ceased. Means really not only no suffering, don't even have a thing of anything. It's unconditioned. And to go through that, come out of it, you will understand. If you didn't go through the cessation and rise, you can never understand. Then Shenhua continued, why did Sakyamuni Buddha toy so hard at his cultivation? He worked so hard because he looked upon the process of birth, aging, sickness, and death as totally meaningless. So this is Shenhua's description or his disciples' interpretation. It's actually not meaningless. He developed the wisdom out of it. Then when he realized the form and mind is not him, he free, he got no more problem. That's why his teaching all follow. This body of mine is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die. For he has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. And that is the first three contemplation. Yeah. And that is how he liberate. Then separation all. You see, he can summarize all of his understanding in the Four Noble Truths. This is the secret of life. That is the meaning. Yeah. That's why when I saw the Four Noble Truths in the year 1971, I knew. That's it. No need to search. Nobody, I said, especially 2,000 years ago, can summarize all of life after his enlightenment to share with the world in such clarity and comprehensive manner. Just Four Noble Truths. He must be the real one. Then we read on. Everyone is born and then die. Die and is born again. Going through the continuous cycle of birth and death. Meaning birth, old age, sickness and death. In the past, there was birth, old age, sickness and death. In the present life, there is also birth, old age, sickness and death in future. Life, there will also be birth, old age, sickness and death. Repeating in life after life, this suffering never ceases. This is samsara. Seeing this, Sakyamuni Buddha thought, oh, this one is, I think, they all interpret on. I don't think Sun Huang will explain it this way. What meaning is there in all this? It would be stupid to stay here and keep repeating this cycle. I don't think Shen Huang will say all this. I must free myself from birth, suffering of birth, old age, sickness and death. So, wishing to release himself from suffering, he left home to God. And this part may be true. Before he became enlightened, he saw that he said he has a problem, not meaningless. He said he has a problem. He need to seek an answer. When Sakyamuni Buddha realized Buddhahood, he left behind the suffering of birth, old age, sickness, and death. However, he could not forsake living beings. He may have thought all these living beings have not yet freed themselves from the suffering of birth, old age, sickness, and death. I am going to take the wonderful Dhamma I have attained and spread the message to all these living beings. He told them, my Dhamma can lead one to leave behind birth, old age, sickness, and death and attain ultimate Nirvana. So this one is, you can look at it in two ways. One is the way it was described, means the provisional teaching that can bring about awakening, enlightenment, to go beyond birth, old age, sickness, and death. That means after you become an arahant, you can cease everything, no more problem. Done is what is to be done. But then, when it comes to the supreme vehicle teaching, the understanding is completely different. That's why here is what the preliminary teaching's message is. But when you understand, you will know he has a vow, you know, even the four basic vow, understand? But he vowed to liberate or take across all living beings, understand? That's why that is his duty. He will come and perfect himself and fulfill that vow. That's why the four basic vow can allow you to come back. And he perfected them all. So that is their understanding. Okay, we stop here. I will mark this page. Study. Okay, we are at page 575. So we are now back to our second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have. And it can be in any form. Your question can come in the form of Dhamma question or meditation question, or how to apply the Dhamma that you have learned to enable you to use it to understand life and practice them accordingly.
Radio, actually, 我的 sharing, 我已经做了part的 sharing.
对对对。所以该我在想,
就是大家可以讨论一下的，就是该 Radio 讲的那个。 所谓的first noble
truth， 对对 ，first noble truth reality 啊，那个很重要。
因为其实当然我们这个所谓的 form and mind， 我们要develop很多的 understanding。
Yes，
因为当你
precisely
当你生病的时候，
怎样去面对它？
你的 mind， 你的 body 能不能够 separate 出来，那个是很大的一个功课。
对，而且
就是 Brad 就该讲到的，所谓的我们要很感恩这个 body， 要时常去感恩它带了我们走，就比方说我，带了我走了60年，
是咯 ，serve us so well，
对，其实是很感恩，因为最起码的我们的四肢健全，
对，
all the senses 还很好，
对。
还有就是当你要面对生病的时候，我们能不能够真的放下说不要管这个 body 怎样死就死吧，那个所谓的这一切的这个是 require 很多的 understanding 才能够做到，要不然哦，你一生病的时候哦，那个痛一来哦，你根本的没有办法，你顾得了那个痛，你又顾不了里面那个 feeling 或者你的感受，所以还有周边的一切的事情，你还要面对很多东西，所以这个我觉得是一个很好的一个
subject，
让大家去。
So that one I have shared before, maybe I will repeat it for you. You see, after 1989, when I connect and I realize all these things, then I remember what the Buddha mentioned, the second turning of the first noble truth. He said, this noble truth or dukkha is to be understood. So that question is very important. How can we understand this noble truth of dukkha, means the irreality? So what we need to develop is the wisdom behind. So in order for you to develop the understanding, you must confront it. Then only you understand. That's why in the three turning of the four noble truth, the second turning, I actually at that time contemplated a lot. And I should thank my teacher, Ajahn Yan Chuang. Yeah, he keep on repeating to me, you know, no less than six times. You know, he choose contemplate all Dhamma until very, very clear. Then I remember at that time, whenever I have opportunity to confront any disease or sickness or what, I will, like, with a lot of joy and understanding, I will silence my mind and feel using that awareness. Then I realize the body is just the body. The mind is the mind. The two are separate. But then the wisdom arises. These are realities that every living being has to confront. So what happened is I tell myself I have two choices. One, accept the reality and deal and remain aware, silent, and go through it. Of course, if you need cure, if you need to seek help, you seek, understand? Do what you have to do. Need to ask for forgiveness through karmic or what? Do. Then after that, that's why I teach you all the three ways. Yeah. First, is the right view to accept the reality. We are all this, like the Buddha said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, as supported by our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma. So 99.99% is karmically related, cannot run. So what happened? We have to accept this reality, then do what we have to do. You need to ask for forgiveness, repentance, so that you can break the karmic obstacle. You must do. Then determine not to repeat all this mistake or evil by following the advice of the Buddha. To avoid all evil, you need to keep the precept. Then, to cultivate wholesomeness, we need to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Path factor 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Then, the last one is to purify your mind, to meditate, is to cultivate the 7 and 8 power factor, Samasati and Samadhi, so that you develop the understanding. The moment you follow the advice of the Buddha and ask for forgiveness, it gives rise to two very important factors. First is the karmic obstruction ready. Either you have weakened it or you have overcome it. Only when the karmic obstruction is dealt with can you find solution. Otherwise, the karmic obstruction will obstruct you and you cannot come out of it. You cannot come out of it. Then, because we follow the advice of the Buddha, which is to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path leading to wisdom and enlightenment, this one actually gives rise to a lot of parami, a lot of what we call wholesomeness, merits, and all those things. So if you know how to invoke power of merits for solution, to turn around, to recover from all this karmic negativity, or to break free from all this karmic situation or problem, then you invoke them. That's how you overcome life problems. That's how you bring about better causes and conditions for you to recover to good mind state, to be given another chance at life. Well, a lot of people fail to understand all this. then they become more and more angry, more and more emotional and anger, until very depressive, and they suffer a lot. And this is why they cannot free. So what happened is I contemplated it, then I developed the mindfulness awareness, then I tried them out. No? I was full of joy. I want to experience what all this suffering is, the noble truth reality. Yeah. Especially the one that actually bring about a lot of, like when you are really sick that time. There are, I think, two or three occasions, I remember. One of them is when I was going through the angel. Before the angel, I am very sensitive. I am very mindful. So what happened was, it's not really painful. No? But I had this eerie sensation. No? That eerie is not the one that is fearful one. No? It's not like when the non-human create that type of chill energy and make you like fearful. No, no, this eerie one is, I use the word eerie, you know? I know it is not painful, it is nothing serious, but associated with death or no. You know you can die or no. And the form of Maya is very delicate one, very vulnerable one. Yeah. That's why when I knew that, I want to understand how actually it can torment living being or human being and cause all this suffering or those things. So I was looking with awareness at what happened. Then I came to realize normal people without the Dhamma, you suffer like anything. You cannot overcome or no. Because this eerie feeling that initially come, yeah, then after that, it will intensify or no. Yeah. Then, of course, depend on your karma. Most people, I was told by the doctor, yeah, when you had a heart attack, you will have all these symptoms or no. Either sharp pain, or profuse sweat, or what they call stroke type of manifestation, and a lot of other very traumatic symptoms that will happen to you, or you like difficulty in breathing and all those things. But surprisingly, when I was going through that, actually a few times, you know, well, I was mindful, I was aware, but I don't feel any of this. Though. I got no profuse sweat, I no sharp pain, I got no difficulty in breathing, nothing. It's just that eerie sensation where I meditate, I have awareness, and I know it's not right. You know. Then, when it happened over a few times earlier on, before, I think when I was at the age of 58, 59, I think, every time it comes, I know how to relax, I know how to meditate, I silent, then I recover. Then every time I do Dhamma sharing, it doesn't disturb me. So what happened was, I went through all those, I recovered. Then when I was age 59 plus, coming to 60 that time, you know what happened? One day, inside tell me, you know, he said, hey, you must go and check your heart, your artery, and all that. I said, why? Well, I thought I still okay. Well, I meditate, I recover. He said, you remember? Your mother also age 60, heart attack. My elder brother also said, hey, I'm number two, you know, after my elder brother. So it's supposed to be my time. Wow, I said, like that. Okay lah. I said, when there is a sign, well, I can read sign. Then I will take action. And you know what happened? 3 months after that, that sensation came again. That time I remember I was having a very heavy breakfast. The coffee was very thick and very sweet. And I ordered nasi lemak. I ordered what they call Noodle, do not want to forget it. Or a lot of carbohydrate and high sugar. Then actually my sugar went out on that day. That time I don't have medication, I don't know all this. So what happened was, after the breakfast, I'm still okay, you know. Then I came back. Then my son asked me, he said, Daddy, you free or not? I said, why? He said, I want to send my car. I said, can I take you? So on the way when I drove there, I didn't feel anything, no. But when I reached the place where the car is being serviced, because that place was a very high class area. It got a cafe, everything, man. So the receptionist was so kind. I said, Mr. Teo, can I offer you a coffee or brew one? No? So I took another one. No. Then I also like to put sugar on. The moment I drank that, I felt something real. I tell my son, is your car ready? Yeah, he said, more or less, send in already. Look at it. After that, they sign off, then we can go. I say, we go. Yeah. He said, okay. Then we did 3 minutes, huh? We clear. So what happened was, that attack, like, not painful, nothing, like eerie. Well, I was sensitive, then I knew. Then I still drive him, you know. So on my way back, you know the Hsinchu Jipo there, the traffic light, is quite long, you know, 2 minutes or so, you know. So I purposely stop at the traffic light. Then I silent, I meditate. Then I more or less recovered. Then I confidently tell myself, okay, once I go back, I will lie down, I will recover. Then I told my wife, you ask her. I came in, I said, don't disturb me. I lie on the couch there. You know what happened? The moment I lie down, that thing become worse. So. Then I remember the sign. Then I tell my wife, call the ambulance. So, then the ambulance came. Because the message was, jantung problem. So when the ambulance came, I opened the door, I walked out. He said, you boleh jalan. I said, jalan boleh. So he put me on the ambulance. Then I went to HUKM. Because that was where my record is and my sister worked there. So the moment I reached, well, very good, you call ambulance, got advantage. The doctor all there, ready, waiting for you. Yes, the ambulance people gave the detail, everything. Then when I reached there, they put me on the stretcher, straight away they took me in, they checked me, do the ECG, then they jabbed me. Then after that, I felt better. The moment they jabbed me, I felt better. And it was near the New Year, I remember 2013. So, after a while, actually on the way in the ambulance, I already recovered already. I don't feel anything already. But I just want to know what happened. So what happened was, when I went there, after they jabbed me, then I feel I should be discharged already because I'm normal, back to normal already. Then I checked with the MO, the medical officer. I said, can I be discharged? I say, I feel good now, no more wrong. He looked at me, He said, do you know when you were admitted the first ECG, you had a heart attack? I said, huh? Heart attack? I said, I don't sweat. You are one of the abnormal ones. He said, don't have all these symptoms. Then I said, what actually happened? He showed me the chart now. He said, angina. There is the word angina. Elevated, no. The curve is not the normal one. Means elevated, not abnormal heartbeat. So I said, like, that means what? He said, you have to wait for the specialist. He will decide. You have to stay here at least 4 to 5 days. Oh, he said, Chinese New Year coming now. He said, you want your life or you want Chinese New Year? That's why I call Yun Chan. Actually, that night was a dinner. Then I call Yun Chan and ask him to tell pass the message. I say, don't worry, I'm okay. I said, I cannot come on it. So that was what happened. Then after that, my son said, this type of heart thing, I cannot wait. He said 6 weeks later, the specialist said, come back and do stress test, everything. But my son checked the internet, no. Heart attack, you don't play a fool. 6 weeks may not be enough time for you to go through the surprises. So, you remember that that one Atantuya case on the PI, that his the inspector that actually engaged by that Atantuya one, he admitted other in it. He admitted to SJMC, you know, and he said maybe 2 weeks later when he come for the operation or checkup. Within that first week, he died. That's why I cannot wait. So my son wanted to argue with the specialist. I said, no, no, no. They are the specialist in charge of the government hospital. You don't agree, you also have to accept. Because if you want, get the outside private sector to give a second opinion or what. That's why he go and check it out. Then we found one in Bangsa. So Bangsa, that one check. He did a heart scan for me, but the machine was very old. Then he said, okay, I put you on stress test. He said, no need to wait 6 weeks. So I went on the stress test. I passed. Oh. I went up to level 3. You know. And he said, there is no sign of heart attack. He don't have my ECG in the hospital. Then he said, I do the echo. He checked my heart, the pumping output. He said, your echo is 100%. No leak. Your valve all very good. Huh? Then, I feel weak, you know, I said. He said, never mind. Should be okay. Then I even went to Hap Jai, you know, after that, the new year. Then I came back, I felt weak. Then my son found a specialist. That's how I went to Mid Valley. That I heal. So I went there. He did another one. He saw very accurate, the latest machine. So he did. He said, you're not supposed to walk, he said. I said, why? He said, one of your arteries, the main one, is 100% blocked. The other one is 70%. Oh, and another one is 30%. The three main arteries are all blocked. One of them is completely blocked, it's supposed to collapse. But he said, I don't know why you are still walking around. Then after that, I said, never mind. I said, are you confident? He said, yes. Then I said, okay, when can you give me the latest appointment? I think he checked his slot. 2 days later, got a slot. But I said, okay, we do. Yeah. That's how I went and do the thing. Then I initially recovered, but not fully. After that, I still feel very weak now. I went around, walk, still feel very weak now. Then I checked with the doctor who did my angio. He said, there are some patients, is it, maybe 1 out of 10, is it, had this type of fatigue problem one after the surgery. So he recommended that I go for the cardiac exercise. Means like a bypass patient, go and do the exercise. After I do the exercise, I recovered. But I remember that night, after he did the angio, when I was discharged from the, what they call, the operation. I remember I was with my wife. Actually, they asked me to go fasting. The whole morning fast, and the night before fast. Then I supposed to have a morning operation. You know. Somehow, delay, you know, until 2 something. You know. I got no food, nothing. You know. And the procedure is supposed to be 1 hour, and up 2 hours. I was so weak until I just, first thing I asked for is, I need a Milo drink. So before the Milo drink came, I was so weak. I went into the toilet. My consciousness shut down. My wife panicked. Luckily, she called me. Then because I still have awareness, I know what happened. Then after that, I regain consciousness. Then I tell her, don't worry. I said, I need to rest on it. I said, is the Milo ready? Oh, then Milo only came in. After I drink the Milo, I recovered. It's not easy. If you don't have awareness or what, you will have collapse. I was in the WC. My wife was worried that anything happened. Now he followed me. So all this is what you will understand. Then I remember before I went in for the operation, I was at home now. For no reason, if without the Dhamma, I tell you, I succumbed to it already. At one time, the body becomes so sensitive. Any vibration or sound or outside, like those type of noise, that create a type of like eerie feeling inside the heart or not. And I know normal people cannot take it on. And these are karmic manifestation, no? Keep on manifesting, no? Then a lot of things, no? Luckily, I know how to meditate. I just relax into it, silent. And then it ceases. Otherwise, this karmic thing, they come and haunt you. If you don't have the Dhamma, you don't know how to attend to all this. The fear will arise. The anxiety, the whatever, panic attack, everything will happen. That's why it's not easy to confront always sickness and death. Then the other occasion is when I operate my buttock. I told you all before, the pain, the fistula, the pus. Because they do an IND, they cut and they press it out. And it was really painful because... But then I can use my awareness and I know it's moment to moment. No, it's not you in pain. No, that's why I can endure it. And I understand what happened. Then later on, I follow my classmates' advice, go and see the specialist. Then he did an operation for me. 4 days before I fly to US, LA with my whole family. Immediately after the operation, the doctor asked me, you need a balloon to see. I said, never mind. I said, it should be okay. And he said, well, I told him I got a flight all bought already, the holiday with my home. He said, you decide, is it? I cannot decide for you. Normal people cannot recover in 4 days. I said, never mind. I said, you do it. Well, I asked him, how long? He said, quite fast, is it? Once you fasting, the next morning you come. Then I do the operation. Within 4 or 5 hours, you are out. You will become conscious. Then that night, if everything okay, the next morning you can go back. I said, that okay? So I did it. That's why I experienced all those. I went through all those. So I understand what the body is and what awareness is and what conscious, what they call the karmic consciousness when they come, how they actually torment you and make you miserable. That's why I say you cannot run on the karmic consciousness when they come without the Dhamma, you cannot confront. But when you have the awareness and the Dhamma, no problem. No problem at all. Well, when I was young, I told you all that I died before. My consciousness actually came up. Well, I was too weak. The craving force all dissipate. The consciousness came up. But I was maybe meant to be, not supposed to die. Somehow I managed to go in and I managed to do what that is proper. Then I regained consciousness. And that let me understand why there is no death. No one died. Nothing died. It's just separation of the consciousness. But this consciousness is trapped inside, the craving for bind you to the physical body. Then when you are very weak, especially before you die, then you get old or what, your disease or something, it will weaken you or not. Then all your strength gone. Then the craving force will dissipate. Then this consciousness will flow down. Well, when I was young, about 8 years old, what happened to me was I like to run around, play a lot on in the morning, the afternoon school. So I played until I was so tired that day, I remember. When I walk home, I immediately collapse on the bed. Then like a deadlock. Then very funny, you know, that time I don't know how to meditate, I don't know what awareness is. But my whole body went through the whole process. My awareness naturally surfaced. Means what? Before I know how to meditate, before I know what this thing is, my nature inside already know how to be aware when all these things is happening, you know, before I die. That's why I cannot die anymore. I mean, die deluded, cannot already. That the awareness will come out. Yeah. Then I saw, I witnessed the whole craving force, how that craving force dissipate, you know. Then how, after the craving for no more, how the consciousness came out, and how I was up there looking down on my body. Then I saw my brother walk in there. So all this, you can actually come to understand through the awareness-based meditation. But at that time, I don't know that was awareness. Until when I grew up later, when I developed the meditation, then only I understand. But on hindsight, is meant to be for me to understand all this. I think also very likely when I was age 8, Kuan Yin helped me. Otherwise, I also cannot come in again. That's why I say this life, he helped me survive this form and mind, protected this form and mind, at least on 3 occasions. One is the swimming, the other one is the chimoteng. So 3 occasions. So all this is what Dhamma is. So when you have the Dhamma, you don't worry. Nothing die, no one die. So I think this is good for Alicia, they all, song, they all. When you listen, it can help you. But you have to, like the second turning, this noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. How to understand when you confront them? Understand? Especially OA sickness, even injury. Injury, I check. When I spray my leg or what, I want to know what is that sensation, what is that feeling. Then I relax. But then your karma good. Got people come and heal you and help you. And you recover very fast. Or you will meet the right doctor and all those things. So this is how you can develop the understanding, okay? Alicia, so hopefully it will help you. 4 more minutes.
Actually, 讲回那个所谓的 sickness 上次我在贵州不是很执着的要吃素，而且我生病了。
对，you vomit a lot also.
但是因为 Anne 中国说， 你一定要回去忏悔， 跟这个 form and mind 忏悔。
Yeah, 忏悔很重要。
对，因为我们真的是， 其实我们是
业障来的。
对，而且我们也没有好好的照顾他。
对，因为我们
那时候。
Yeah, yeah.
So, 讲回五台山的 experience， 其实整个五台山的 trip， 我们真的很感恩。
Yeah, yeah, 那个过程很 beautiful。
就是其实来Brad就讲，其实我们在那边好像没有什么东西。
对。
但是其实发生很多东西。
A lot of things happen.
就是我自己本身回到家的 experience 是完全不一样的。
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
它就是很多的 vibration
在那边，很
subtle 的，
correct,
一直在 transforming，
correct. It's moving inside because what you receive there is beyond the understanding of normal people. Only cultivator of the way will understand. But most of you all maybe may not know the full understanding yet. But you come back, all these changes inside you, you will understand it later on. Later, as you continue to progress along the path of Dhamma in the cultivation, you will recollect how. That's why I willing to take Kayamita on spiritual trip is because in the early days, before 89, it benefited me. I organized a lot of trip to, but that one small number, normally one van only. Yeah. Then later on, after 89 only, I take Kalimantan on bus. And the biggest one is two buses, big buses, so 30 over per bus, so almost 40 each to Thailand. So before that, because I went through all this, then I know the beauty of spiritual trip, because it is all meant to be one, all this trip. Your affinity with the great beings and the places and all those things. And a lot of things will happen. Sometimes it's the non-human and all those things. The devas, the Dharma protector. And you're supposed to go. Yeah. Especially in the early days when I went to Thailand a lot. Yeah. In fact, after I met Ajayantra, I went to Thailand many times. Then the Prakhu also took me to all the great monks. Yeah. That was before 89. Yeah. Then later on, after 89, I went to Australia and all those things, the Katina, all those things. So these spiritual trips are actually very beneficial, very beneficial. That's why I realized all this, then I willing to take Kayamita on spiritual trip is because of that. So when you come back, you will know, inside your heart area there, a lot of energy went in there, a lot of things are inside, but depend on whether you are sensitive or not. Like Alicia, they all, you are sensitive, you can feel. Song, they also can feel. And Pocheng also, they can feel. Yeah. Like Pocheng described, when I was explaining to Han, the sister, it's like indirectly talking to her. Then the nature's beam of energy went into her heart. It was so soothing. And just went, and he just received it. This is like the mind-to-mind seal, from nature to nature. Going. So all this that happened there, even when we were at Zhongtai, Nantai, all this area, you have draw a lot. Even the Huayan Temple, Ta Tong, you all have draw a lot. But how much can you draw depend on your cultivation. That's why awareness, nature, you must stabilize it. But no matter how, you all will have actually develop a lot of wholesomeness, merits, and parami, because when we travel together on the bus and even stay at the same hotel, our collective consciousness, my natures, and the great beings' nature, and especially Wu Tai San, Wen Su Pusa's nature, very beautiful, very powerful, and they are really ever radiating for the cultivator of the way. Especially the two nights when we share the Dhamma sharing. Oh, a lot of the Kayamita told me they can feel. They go in there like very still. Then like don't want to come out. So a lot of these things you will experience and go through. This is what spiritual trip and Dhamma cultivation is all about. Okay, we better end. Okay, let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us share merit, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaka mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkantu loka sasada ittavata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan Sabbe deva anumodantu sabasampati siriya idang nenya tinang hotu sugita hontu nyatayo idang nenya tinang hotu sugita hontu nyatayo idang nenya tinang hotu sugita hontu nyatayo devo asatukalina Sasa sampati hetu cha Vito bhavatu loko cha Raja bhavatu dhammiko Imina punyang kamina Mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu Yawa nivana patiya Sadhu, Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end the whole session. Thanks for your participation.